It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Unveiling your glorious destiny in life. We have come to understand that God's word is a mirror through which we are able to identify who we are in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it said, we all with open face will behold him as in a glass, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The meaning of that is simple. Our real identity is located as we explore his word. It is when we come in contact with God's word that we have a picture of who we really are in Christ. That is why Psalm 40 verse 7 says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to know thy, to do thy will, O God. So we see clearly that the picture, the real picture of what we have been made in Christ is unveiled or discovered from God's word. Before redemption, you knew who you were. But after redemption, you must discover who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In other words, who you were is not who you are. And you must begin to discover from scriptures who you are now that you are in Christ. Because you are a new creature, you have new features, you have new abilities, new capacities. You are loaded by redemption. And I believe, God, that everything that he has packaged within you by redemption will begin to find expression in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. None of your potential shall remain buried in you. Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. I said somebody believe me, say a loud amen. Remember, according to scriptures, it is as far as your eyes can see that will be given unto you. Genesis 13 verse 14 and 15, it said, look north, look south, look east, look west, for as far as you see, he said, it will be given unto you. So it means, therefore, that it is the scope of what we are able to see from scriptures that determines what we are able to manifest on the earth. Remember that by redemption, you are loaded, you are repackaged, you are rebranded, but what will be manifested is determined by what is revealed. That is why Paul prayed the prayer in the book of Ephesians 1 verse 17 and 18. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may be able to know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So everyone that is born again is redeemed, rebranded, repackaged by God with a glorious destiny. And we must begin to uncover the details of that destiny in order to walk in the reality of what God has in store for us. And that's what we've been uncovering in every one of our Sunday services all through this month. And we're going further this morning to discover more from God's word what he has to say about our glorious destiny in Christ. I'd like us to note this very important point which we're going to focus on today, that we have a destiny of health and vitality in Christ. Say with me, I have a destiny of health and vitality in Christ. One more time, I have a destiny of health and vitality in Christ. So by redemption, you have a destiny of health and vitality. This means that you have a heritage of health and vitality in Christ Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see the commencement of this destiny in prophecy. Verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible paints a picture saying he was despised, he was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. All of this, why? Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But look at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with every one of his 39 stripes we were guaranteed healing. So according to scripture, there is a guarantee for your total health and vitality by redemption. And the Bible then goes on in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 to package that in past tense. He said, who himself did bear our sins upon his own body on the tree, that is the cross, and that we being dead to sin should now live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So by redemption, you have a package of healing, health, and vitality. I pray today that whatever represents any affliction, any torment, any oppression of the devil, by this encounter today, it is destroyed in the name of Jesus. I said it is destroyed in the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and verse 17, the Bible tells us there, he said, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out evil spirits with his word, and he healed them that were sick. Why? Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. He did the miracles that it may be fulfilled. Now the one who did the miracle is the one that lives in you. That is why the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than the cancer that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than the HIV in the world. Greater is he that is in you than the hepatitis in the world. No matter what is in the world, the one in you is greater than it. And he said that it may be fulfilled that which was written, himself took my infirmities. Took is not take. Took is not will take. Took means he took it 2,000 years ago. Therefore, whatever is hanging in your body is illegal. It's not permitted to be there. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every illegal occupant, illegal sickness, illegal disease, illegal pain, illegal discomfort is ejected now in the name of Jesus. We are acquainted with the fact that according to scriptures, Jesus came to save us from our sins, and that is correct. But the Bible makes us to understand that he came also as the savior of our body from sickness and from disease. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says there, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior, the deliverer, the rescuer of the body. Jesus did not only come to save you spiritually from sin, he came to save you physically from sickness. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. Every sickness is a satanic oppression, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, he said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I don't know what that work is. I don't know what that affliction may be called. It may be called a complicated name, but the Bible said he went healing all that were oppressed, irrespective of the name. Whether it was a lung disease, whether it was a colon disease, whether it was a blood disease, whether it was intestinal, whether it was a heart defect, whether it was movement of all kinds of things around the body, whether it was a brain disease, he said he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Therefore, all includes all, including you. That means that no matter what the enemy has planted in your body, that which my heavenly Father has not planted is uprooted this morning. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen. Very clearly, according to scriptures, he's the savior of our body from sickness and from disease. In the book of Exodus chapter 15 and in verse 26, we see the scripture tell us here. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is God's title. That is God's job description. I am the Lord that has the function of healing you. Therefore, you have come today to the palace of the healer. You have come today to the surgical room of the great physician. You have come today to the theater of the Almighty God. You have appeared today to the consulting room of the great physician. Therefore, whatever your affliction may be, under the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your liberty is established now. What more can we see from scriptures? We can see that according to scriptures, we are anointed with the spirit of might for strength and for vigor. That is, you are not just to be set free from sickness, set free from disease, but you are anointed for strength and vigor. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, speaking of the seven spirits of God, among them is the spirit of might. And in Ephesians 3 verse 16, he said that you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So there is a strength that comes from on high. There is an ability, a vigor that comes from heaven. And that ability is what will begin to find expression in you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the book of Psalm chapter 105 verse 37, this is what the Bible says. Psalm 105 and verse 37. He said he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person, not one weak person among their tribes. You see, it is possible not to be sick, but not to be strong. And here God is saying that it's not only to deliver you from sickness, from disease, but from weakness and from feebleness. From weakness and from feebleness. Therefore, this morning, every altar of weakness that is making you a vegetable in life, by the encounter you are having upon this holy mountain, you are set free in the name of Jesus. The kind of condition that a person goes to sleep and wakes up having slept long but wakes up tired. You slept, but it's as if you have been running in your sleep. You wake up exhausted. Nothing seems to solve the weakness. You seem to go from one dimension of weakness to another. Jesus is saying that is not your portion in redemption. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 12, he said, what is the lamb that was slain to receive for us power, riches, wisdom, and strength. So you are redeemed to be strengthened. You are not redeemed to be weakened. Therefore, every weakness in your body, this morning by the authority of Jesus Christ, your liberty is established now. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest, amen. Amen. So you are anointed for strength. You are anointed for vitality. You are anointed for heavenly energy. When the Spirit of God came upon Elijah, he began to outrun the chariot of Ahab. He was operating with divine energy, physical vigor, unmatched, you know, energy. And that is what God has ordained for us. Not to be weak by the start of the day. Not to be worn out in the middle of the day. But to go from strength to strength. And what a joy that you are in Zion this morning. For they go from strength to strength. All of them that appear before God in Zion. Therefore, whatever represented weakness in your life today, it is terminated forever. I said, today it is terminated forever. 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 Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. That's what God has packaged for us in redemption. I read an account some time ago of the man John Wesley. When he was 80 years old, he was writing to a friend and an acquaintance. He said, I don't know why that at this age of 80, I find out that I cannot read more than 15 hours straight. A man of 80. And I ask myself, even those who are writing exam, just to read 3 hours in the night, they need to put their leg inside water. They need to ensure that there is no strange wind blowing in front of their faces. And here comes an 80-year-old man saying, I don't know why I cannot read more than 15 hours straight. Say with me, vigor. Every weakness in your body must be terminated today. I said every weakness in your body must be terminated today. Strange dimension of strength. Unusual vigor. Why? There is an unction that comes from on high, that empowers from within and drives you without. When the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, the Bible said in Mark 1:12, the Spirit driveth him. It was energizing him. It was empowering him. It was enabling him. That is the same Holy Ghost that comes upon you. And I believe that from this morning onwards, you shall be energized by the Spirit of God. You shall be empowered by the Spirit of God. You shall be driven by the Spirit of God. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest, amen. Not too long ago, in the month of May, we had here the man of God, Kenneth Copeland, and we saw him operate with unusual energy. He's still a pilot till today. Still flies around the world by himself, flying from one continent to the other, long hours. Arriving, landing, and then going to preach. Finish preaching, enter the plane, and begin flying again. And he's 80 years old. Operating with unusual vigor and unusual energy. From today, that will be somebody's experience. I said that will be somebody's experience. I said that will be somebody's experience. You believe it, say louder, amen. We don't need to go too far. We see God's servant, our Father, operating with unusual vigor, energy, dynamic drive, all by the operation of the Spirit of God that is within him. I've seen him go on outreaches many times, go to as many as 7 places for several hours, not to come back and rest, to come back and change and continue to walk. And go like that, cycle after cycle, without ever breaking down. Why? There is a spirit that comes from on high that energizes from within and drives you without. I see that same spirit that is upon his servant. I see it manifesting in your life. The question, therefore, is what are the biblical keys to your health and your vitality? If you are going to walk in health, if you are going to experience vitality as God has ordained for you in redemption, what are the biblical keys that are available to you to enjoy it? We'll look at this quickly from God's word. Number one is you must feed on the word. You must do what? You see, it is what you eat that determines the strength that you have. We must come to recognize that for you to be energized spiritually, you must be fed spiritually. And what feeds you spiritually is the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to verse 23, it said there, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It said, for they are life unto those that find them, and they are health unto all their flesh. Therefore, guard thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. What is God saying? Keep loading your heart with my word. As you are doing so, you are sending life to your body and you are sending health to all your flesh. The word health there refers to medicine. God is simply telling you and I that the word of God is our secret to vitality. The meaning of that is that the more your appetite for his word, the more your access to his strength. The more your appetite for his word, the more your access to his health. The more your appetite for his word, the more your access to his life. Their life unto those that find them, and their health unto all their flesh. In the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 21 to 25, we come across this very, very powerful prophetic parable. It says, his flesh is consumed away, it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. He said, his soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his rights with God, he said, he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. What is the result? His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return unto the days of his youth. He said in verse 26, he shall pray unto God, he will be favorable unto him, and he will see his face with joy. He will render unto man his righteousness. Everyone that comes in contact with the unveiling of God's word will naturally enter the release of his strength. I'd like you to recognize this. The more of God you see from his word, the more like God you look in the world. The more of God you see from his word, the more like God you look in the world. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we all with open face, we behold him as in a glass, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. You begin to enjoy the life of God. You begin to enjoy the strength of God. You begin to enjoy the vitality of God. All by reason of the unveiling of his word. That is why the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. It said that whereby he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Corruption means death, that is in the world through lust. So you see clearly that you can escape decay by simply engaging the mystery of continuous receipt of God's word. I remember the testimony of a man. He had an accident, ghastly accident. The feet, the bones in the leg were shattered. And he was told the leg was to be amputated. He said, no way, this leg will not be amputated. And he took several messages on healing, put them in his, you know, tape player, and began to play those messages. And he became so radical about it that they put the speakers around the leg that was to be amputated and said, no leg, hear ye the word of the Lord. And the speakers continued to speak the word, continued to speak the word. His faith continued to grow. As it was growing, his leg was reconstructing, repackaging. By the end of that, he was finally on his feet. The devil could not cut his leg off. Why? The word of God came into play. I'd like you to understand something. There is nothing scattered the word cannot gather. He said the valley was full of dry bones. They were scattered all over. But what did he say? Son of man, prophesy. And as the word began to go forth, the gathering began to happen. I don't know what is scattered in your body, but even as the word is going forth this morning, there is a gathering taking place for you. I said there is a gathering taking place for you. There is a gathering taking place for you. Number two key is speak healthy words. Speak healthy words. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Speak healthy words. The word you speak determines the life you live. Speak healthy words. Make declarations of health. Make declarations of vitality. Make declarations of strength upon yourself. Speak healthy words. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3 verse 10, it said, let the weak say, I am strong. Speak healthy words. Don't allow yourself to be caught speaking unhealthy words, speaking sickly words. No. Speak health. Speak life, speak strength. That's what you must do. for you to enjoy the package that redemption has in store for you. Speak healthy words. Speak healthy words. Refuse to acknowledge sickness in your statements. Refuse to give place to disease in your utterances. Refuse to give priority to weakness in your statements. We must come to understand that you need to speak words of health. The entire body was created by words. And it means therefore that it is maintained by words and it is repaired by words. God created all things by his word. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which do appear were made out of things that do not appear. God maintains all things by his word. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. He said he upholded all things by the word of his power. God repairs all things by his word. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. He cast out evil spirits by his word and healed many that were sick. So God creates by the word. God maintains by his word. God repairs by his word. Therefore, if anything is broken, since you are created in the image of God, you must create by the word. You maintain by the word and you repair by the word. Is somebody hearing what God is saying this morning? So don't say what they are saying. Say what he said. What did he say? By his stripes we were healed. And if we were healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I am not sick. What does his word say? Himself took my infirmities. If he took it, I don't have it. I cannot have it. I cannot claim it. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? Someone said, okay, if that is so, then how come I'm feeling somehow? Why am I feeling like this? And I tell people this. You see, in any public place, things get lost. And they have lost and found place. You go to the lost and found table. They ask you, is this your own? You say, no, it's not my own. You see, every time you have a headache, Satan is simply asking, is it your own? And when you say, my head, you are saying, it is my own. Anytime you see your back paining you, Satan is simply asking, is it your own? When you say, my back, you are saying, it is my own. Your tummy, oh, my stomach. What you are saying is, it is my own. Satan is advertising, stop collecting. Stop collecting. Stop collecting. You must come to recognize when he gives you, say, no. My head cannot ache. This is not my headache. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? They give you a report from the doctor. He said, no, doctor, thank you very much, but this is not my report. This is not my report. He said, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. There are many reports. There are some to reject and the one from the Lord to collect. Refuse to collect the one that the devil is advertising. Start collecting what God is distributing. And you do that by actively declaring. Shout hallelujah. I said, shout hallelujah. Number three, embrace godliness as a lifestyle. Embrace godliness as a lifestyle. Every violation of the way of God brings you in contact with the oppression of the wicked. Every violation of the way of God brings you in contact with the oppression of the wicked. John 5 verse 14. Jesus met a man. Having ministered unto him, he said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Why? Lest a worse thing come upon thee. Sin no more. We must come to understand that the maintenance of our health and our vitality is at the mercy of our godliness. Our godliness. The Bible makes us understand in Mark chapter 2 verse 5, when the paralytic man was brought into the meeting where Jesus was, the scripture said, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Before the healing, he cleared the sins. In other words, part of the cause of the condition was iniquity. We must come to understand that sin brings you into proximity with the enemy. It brings you into close contact with the enemy. And you see, it is contact that contaminates. The closer you are to the afflicter, the more afflicted you become. The greater the distance between you and the afflicter, the less afflicted you become. So we must come to recognize that our godliness is a preserver from every oppression of the wicked. Live a godly life. Live a godly life. Stay away from corruption. Stay away from lying. Stay away from stealing. Stay away from manipulating. Stay away from all kinds of vices, sexual, immoral, and otherwise. What are you doing? You are preserving your life. You are keeping your life. You are protecting your life. You must come to understand that there is nothing new under the sun. God has made it clear from scriptures and from the beginning that you violate his way, you enter proximity with the afflicter. In Proverbs chapter 5, there's a picture painted here beginning from verse 8, speaking about immoral lifestyle. He said, remove thy way from her and come not near the door of her house. Why? He said, lest thou give thy honor to others and thy years unto the cruel. He said, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed away. Destruction, devastation because of corruption. I'd like us to recognize you can't live like them and not suffer like them. If you are going to stand with God, the demand of God is come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. They should know you for righteousness. They should know you for holiness. They should know that you will not compromise. That should be the stand of every believer. It should be a public knowledge to everyone that comes in contact with you. Why? Because those who stand for God live like God. I pray that for each one today, grace will come upon our lives. Amen. To take a stand for God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number four, keep serving God in truth and in love. Keep serving God in truth and in love. If you want to continue to experience health and vitality, you keep serving God in truth and in love. As you are running after the lost, you are ensuring health and vitality for yourself. Remember, the Bible says that anyone who is going about advertising Jesus is simply an ambassador of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And every faithful ambassador is health. You enjoy healthy living as you go about advertising Jesus. As you are praying for the kingdom of God, you are going into the presence of God, standing upon the altar of prayer. He said, let's come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So everyone who presses on the altar of prayer concerning the kingdom of God is gaining access to the help of God, and the help of God is the secret to the strength of man. Remember, you cannot keep appearing before God and not be going from strength to strength. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 84 verse 7, they go to from strength to strength. Every one of them appear before God in Zion. So we see clearly that your stewardship to God positions you for a continuous renewal of health and vitality. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 and 26. You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and water. He said he will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The number of your days you fulfill. He said you will not be barren nor cast your young in the land. So we see clearly from scriptures that God takes responsibility for the health and the vitality of every genuine servant of God. Therefore, it is wisdom to register as a servant, to register as a servant, to lay your life as a servant, to give your life unto God to use as a vessel. And as you do so, you are simply giving him the responsibility to continue to maintain you. You see, the truth is this: every plate, every cup, every pot in the house of the owner must be cleaned by the user. Is that not true? When you make yourself a vessel in the house of God, it is the duty of God to clean you. It's the duty of God to clean you. He sees sickness around you, he cleans you like washing a plate. He sees disease hanging around you, he cleans you like washing a plate. Because the one who is using you has the duty to keep cleaning you. But when you are the one using yourself, you are the one to fight sickness. You are the one to fight disease. You are the one to fight all kinds of oppression. But when God takes you in his hand, what is it that God will clean that will not go? Can God say to cancer, go and stay? Can he say to hepatitis, go and stay? There is nothing God cleans that remains. God becomes the cleanser of the one that has made God his user. So put your life in God's hand as a vessel and watch God begin to cleanse you from every oppression of the enemy. I see that becoming your experience in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's important, particularly today, that we unveil the master key to a world of favor. Remember, it's a covenant day of favor. So what is the master key to a world of favor? And I'd like us to recognize this very important thing, because this will free each one from every misfortune. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen. The master key to a world of favor is kingdom stewardship as a priority for living. Kingdom stewardship as a priority for living. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Favor is where things come without asking. It's where things arrive without beckoning. It's where things occur without struggling. That's favor. And that's what that scripture depicts for us. In Psalm 102, verse 13 to 15, it said, thou will arise and have favor. He said, upon Zion, he said, for the set time to favor has come. Why is that so? He said, for thy servants take pleasure in the stones and favor the dust thereof. And the result of it is that the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord upon them, and the kings of the earth will fear thy glory. Every time you find a person who has chosen to give God's kingdom, God's agenda, God's cause, his make it his priority, God simply makes that individual a candidate for favor. So the favor of God goes locating those who have made the kingdom of God their priority. The favor of God goes locating those who have made the kingdom of God their priority. Therefore, recognize that every kingdom agenda is an opportunity for a renewal of favor. Every kingdom agenda is an opportunity for a renewal of favor. You remember the story of Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 14. Esther was faced with a condition. The nation of Jews were about to be wiped out by the scheming of Haman. And suddenly, Mordecai made this statement. In verse 13, he said, tell Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house, and more than all the Jews. He said, for if you hold your peace at this time, he said, then enlargement and deliverance shall come for the Jews from another place, but thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you not know that this may be the purpose why you are in the kingdom at this time? That's what he was telling her. He said, whether you do it or not, God will find a way to do it. But the Bible says that Esther took that opportunity, and by the time she appeared before the king, what happened? Esther found favor in his sight. You see, those who go to labor for God will find favor with God. Those who go to labor for God will naturally find favor with God. You don't struggle for favor by going around distributing complimentary cards. You get favor by going to work for God, and God makes things work for you. Have you not heard Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? It said, all things work together for the good of them that love God. You see, you can work, but you can't make things work. But when you go to work for God, God begins making things work for you. He makes things work for you. Shout hallelujah. From today, by the encounter you are having upon this mountain, there shall be no struggle for you again. I said there shall be no struggle for you again. Every misfortune comes to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's important that we know, no one runs out of favor running after God. Therefore, make God your priority. Make his kingdom your priority. Make his agenda your priority. And what you are simply doing is running into greater and greater dimensions of favor. And I'd like you to note, you may be enjoying some favor right now, but favor is in dimensions. Favor is in levels. And today you are changing level. Yeah. I said today you are changing level. Yeah. I said today you are changing level. Yeah. I said today you are changing level. Yeah. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. One day, the angel appeared before Mary and said, thou art highly favored, not ordinary, highly. He said, because you are going to have a child, and the child will be the child of the Most High God. He said, how can this thing be? Because I know not a man. And he said, the power of the High shall overshadow you, and that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. High favor. High favor. Thou art highly favored. Highly favored. You know what high favor means? It means that what has not been done before, been done for you. It has never been heard that anyone will have a child without a man until Mary came. But when the angel came, he said, your favor will not be ordinary. It will not be compared to anyone else. Thou art highly favored. That kind of favor that has never happened for anybody else is the kind of favor you begin to enjoy from now. The meaning of that is this. Stop looking at what has been done before. That's not what we're talking about. That it has not been done before does not mean it will not be done for you. Somebody is going to break protocols. You will break precedents. What has never happened before will begin happening for you. You believe it? Say the loudest amen. Lift your hand to heaven and give God thanks. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today
that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.